Spring break isn't what it used to be. It's better. This spring, stay 3 nights and get a $50 Best Western gift card. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Visit bestwestern.com for complete terms and conditions.
All right, everyone, we're back. It's Inside Boxing Live. We're presented by PPV.com. It's Dan Canobio. It's Chris Algieri. PPV.com is our proud presenting sponsor, as they have been for going on 2 years now, strong with PPV.com. Big fight coming up December 6th. Pitbull Cruz, Lamont Roach, Janibek versus Lara, Oshaki Foster versus Stephen Fulton. That's probably one of the better cards of the year. We're now into November. Big time boxing coming your way. And if you're going to order that fight, do it with PPV.com. Help us out. We've been busting our humps doing these podcasts, right, Chris? Busting our humps. Chris busted his hump just to get back traveling during a government shutdown. Round of applause for Chris Algieri. How are you, Chris?
I'm good. I'm having a beer because I deserved it after today.
Beer pod. It's a beer pod. The Two Beards podcast. Shout out to them. I know they're listening. Was that hell getting back?
It was hell. Absolutely hell. I landed at like 4 p.m. It took like 4 hours to get actually back to Jersey. Trains were just not running and had to go forward, backwards, up, down, left, right, what you name it. But whatever, I'm here. We're here. We're talking boxing. Let's go.
Are we blaming the government shutdown for that?
I mean, people are. I didn't even think about that. And I was talking to you, and you're like, oh, yeah, that's the thing. I'm like, yeah, I guess maybe. Literally, my flight got canceled. It got delayed 3 hours. And then it got moved back up, which I hate when they do that. Because you're like, oh, I got time. I don't have to rush, right? Flying back from Orlando, I'm like, I'm rushing to the airport. I'm like, oh, I got to, you know, do it. And then, oh, 3 hour delay. I'm like, oh, 3 hour delay. But I got some time. I can go work out, go do something. Then I go to breakfast, and then I'm at breakfast. I'm like, oh no, I got to move back to normal time. Now I'm going to rush. I'm like,
oh God.
Trying to get my food
you
to go.
You can't reverse a delayed flight. That's cruel.
Oh, it happens all the time. So I'm like, ooh. I'm like, all right, I guess I'm just going to leave right from here. Like, I got my bed. All right, we're good. And then I literally get back to the hotel where my Uber is waiting for me already. And to grab my bags, and I literally pull into the driveway, and it's like flight canceled. I'm like, wow.
That is just, I mean.
So yeah, I got this guy waiting, and I'm like, you know, whatever. I'll go to the airport and figure it out. And I did. Got into the flight. Whatever. Is what it is. But we're here.
We're blaming the government like we blame COVID for everything.
I'm not blaming anybody. I'm just saying travel sucks now. Things happen.
It's bad.
Regardless, it's bad.
You were in Orlando for the DAZN card. You, Chris Mannix, Todd Grisham. You were filling in for Sergio Mora, who was on some type of tropical vacation. I saw his Instagram stories. I was watching the Game 7 of the World Series. Shout out to all our Dodger fans out there. You guys did it. Unbelievable series. And I also had DAZN on the laptop. Pretty some decent. It was a draw. Some decent fights. Perro got the win, you know. And then Big Baby Miller got in the ring. You sounded great. Got a bunch of tweets from people saying, "Oh, it's great to hear Chris on DAZN." So how was that card and working with Matchroom again?
Oh, it was great. It was good to see all my old buddies over there at Matchroom. Everybody's like, "Oh yeah, Chris, you're here. Working with us. That's great. That's great. Good to work
you're
with
back.
Todd. Love Todd. Back in the circle of trust."
You were out for a little bit.
No? I was out for a couple. It's been like 2 years. It's been like two years. Ben, I was not allowed.
Conor Benn, blur that out, and we'll beep that out. When he fought in Orlando, they took you off the card. We did a whole podcast about it. You're back, yep. Baby.
Yeah. I was on the card. I got removed from the card. No one likes to say who was the reason for me getting pulled from the card. Regardless, I was pulled from the card. But whatever. No, we're back now. Everything's good. Water under the bridge. Boxing moves on. Happy to be back working, even just filling in for Sergio, another buddy of mine. He was in Mexico, FaceTimed with him a couple times while we were out there.
Nice.
Shouted him out on the mic while, you know, during the show. I'm like, I'm just keeping your seat warm. I'm just filling in for now. I'm not.
Yeah, we like Sergio.
I'm not encroaching on anything. You're my guy. But, you know, it was good to see everybody. I haven't worked with Todd in a while. Todd is someone that I've worked with for a very long time. So it was good to be on the mic with him once again. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, so what was the main event? So Lanier Perro, not Denier Perro, Lanier Perro, heavyweight,
yes.
Cuban school of boxing, gets the win. And then Big Baby Miller, were my eyes deceiving me, or did Big Baby Miller step into the ring after the fight?
Right. So Big Ben Miller was someone that we actually interviewed during the live telecast. And
he was on the broadcast last week, too.
Do you say telecast anymore? I don't think so, right? It's not because there's no it's not like television. Stream. It's broadcast. Streamcast. Whatever. Anyway, Streamcast. So he's on the broadcast getting interviewed by Mannix quickly. And he's sitting next to Eddie Hearn and he's, you know, saying how much they get along and whatnot. But after the fight, like his name came up in the post-fight interview with Perro. And he's like, come in the ring. And of course, Big Ben Miller is not going to. Yeah, Perro said that. So Big Ben Miller jumps in the ring, who is actually looking pretty fit and svelte for Big Baby Miller fitness level. And he looked good. And he jumps in the ring and, you know, they start jibber jabbering back and forth. I mean, there's a language barrier, but regardless, Big Baby Miller is easy. He's like, I'm easy. Like, it, make the fight.
What is it? Beef doesn't beef. What's your saying?
Everyone speaks beef.
That's right. You don't need a translator for that.
Don't need a translator, and Big Baby Miller brings the beef.
The beef. He's a big, meaty man throwing heat. Did you say that to him? Did you leave that out?
Okay, I did not. But what were the comments about that? Because, guys, for everyone who's listening, I do not read comments. Don't respond to comments. I don't read comments.
You know what's weird is like the video didn't do great on YouTube because unless we're talking about like four or five of the same names and like you're using the biggest names in the YouTube headlines titles, I enjoyed the heck out of the tier list. It did great on social. Like your rating, your ranking of the eras, your ranking of the heavyweight eras,
yeah,
blew up on Twitter. It was great. Great episode in terms of when there's not much to talk about in this boxing world. Guys, that was one of the worst boxing months we've had in years, October. I'm so glad to put it behind us. But yeah, the tier list got some good reviews. You know, it's not going to do super well on YouTube because we're not talking about Ryan Garcia or Tank Davis or Jake Paul. I love doing those episodes. I'm not going to stop doing them. I'm not going to let the YouTube algorithm dictate our content. But everyone loved big meaty men throwing heat. No.
Okay.
I got a bunch of pauses, like pause of the year. Someone tweeted at me, pause. I can't. That's wild. I think Najee, our guy from Cigar Talk, said pause of the year. I was like, what do you mean, bro? What are you talking about?
I love that line.
What do you mean? What are you talking about? It gets the people talking. It's provocative. It gets the people going. But I saw Jarrell Miller in the ring. And then I also saw some tweets about Joshua's looking to come back and he could potentially be fighting Big Baby. But they were supposed to fight in 2019, remember? And then he famously did every steroid under the sun, gets suspended. Andy Ruiz steps in, knocks out Anthony Joshua, heavyweight history. I mean, did that come up at all?
So there was an interview with Mannix and Eddie, very awkward interview, actually. The only time I've ever seen Eddie actually befuddled flummoxed by a question and took, flummoxed is a good word.
Flummoxed.
Befuddled and flummoxed by questions where he literally, there was long pauses. Eddie never pauses. There was a long pause where Mannix is asking him questions and Eddie had to like sit there and go like, can I let the cat out of the bag now? And he goes, you know, basically he asked, he mentioned what the dates are of upcoming Matchroom shows on DAZN. And he said, will we see Joshua before 2026? Eddie looks, he thinks, he pauses and he goes, yes. So we're going to see Joshua this year.
Okay, I saw that tweet as well, and someone put...
That's big news.
It is big news. One of the shows is in Stockton, California. There is no way in hell Anthony Joshua is fighting in Stockton, California on that Pacheco card.
No.
And what are the other ones? There was one in Ghana, or is that next year? Like, I didn't prep this part of the show, because I did see that tweet.
This is off the cuff, guys. Just
no, I did see the tweet, and I should have started or like screenshotted it. It said that, I saw that. Eddie Hearn confirms that Joshua will return on a DAZN card this year, and there's only three left. And one of them was Stockton, California, which he's not fighting in Stockton. One of them was the
next week with Lubin and
That's a Golden Boy show. Ortiz. It's on a Matchroom show.
Oh, true. So there's that. Then there's Ben and Eubank.
Eubank. He's not fighting on that.
That's in 2 weeks.
Then there was another one way overseas.
That's got to be the one. Or
I'm surprised by that.
Or he's not fighting this year.
He just lied and like made up a headline. Just that won't be the first time. I mean, did you have any interactions with Eddie?
Yeah. Saw him on the way in. Talked to him during the show.
The gym there is pretty nice at the Carib.
It is. The Crib is very nice. It's actually a really nice venue.
All the time.
Really nice venue. Great place to see a show. And Matchroom DAZN, they do such a good job with the production value of the shows, and everything in the background was phenomenal. Looked great in there. Good crowd. Good crowd, actually, especially for Amari Jones, who is a local kid and looked phenomenal. He's a bad boy. He's a bad boy, man. And he looked good. He looked superb. Really excellent performance. And he had the crowd behind him. He came out to a Thriller walkout. A Thriller-themed walkout, which was really good. He had dancers. They were zombies. They came out. He had the red and black with the leather. And then he went out there and just put on a virtuoso performance against a guy who was completely overmatched. But regardless, he looked good and did what he's supposed to do.
Yeah, that was the weekend. Boazzi and Parker fought overseas. A dreadful fight that ended in Boazzi winning one of the biggest robberies. 9-1, I saw. Our guy that looks like you. Why do I can never forget his name? Like
Frampton. Carl.
Frampton scored it 9-1 for Parker. They gave the fight majority decision to Boazzi. So in the span of a year, Boazzi fought in the potential fight of the year with Callum Smith in one of the most forgettable fights of the year with Zach Parker. That's boxing. And that's Joshua Boazzi in a nutshell. I don't know what's going to happen with that, if they have a rematch or it's funky business. I had someone tweeted me, hey, Dan, can you investigate this as a journalist? I said, bro, I'm not a journalist. No,
one, I will not a journalist.
Number one. Number two, I'm not investigating this. It's just bad judging, hometown call. I don't know. That also happened this weekend.
I was actually talking with Mannix and Grisham about that, because Grisham was like, holy cow. He's looking at the scorecard. I guess it was Carl Frampton's scorecard. He's like, oh, he's got him winning like easily.
9-1.
And we were like, whoa, holy cow.
Remember the punch stats. I'm pulling up this punch stats.
And Mannix goes, well, that's the end of Joshua Boazzi. You lose to Zach Parker.
Wow, he won.
I know, but it was before the announcement that he won, because we just saw the scorecard. We're going from that. And we're like, wow, okay, that's the end of...
Wow. That's Parker outlanded him in power, 66-31. Doubled him up in power. Boazzi only landed 31 power shots.
I was going to say, 20%. Only landing 31 power shots in 10 rounds is really not good.
Yeah, and Boazzi only landed 76 punches in total, 20% of his punches. Parker landed 30% total, 38% power, outworked him. Damn. Yeah, that's a bad.
I did not. Did you watch? I did not watch a fight. I've been traveling all
once
day.
Again, didn't. Had it on the side. I mean, it was a big baseball night for me. And these weren't the biggest fights.
This is a boxing podcast, but you know, baseball was last
Listen,
night.
Listen, I wear many different hats. I love baseball. It was Game 7. I wanted to watch that Dodger freaking Blue Jays game, and I didn't think much of this fight to begin with. I was like, I'll catch the replay, but it's a banger. I pull up Twitter and I see nothing but Z's. Dan Rayfield says one of the worst fights he's ever seen. So I was like, no, I won't be turning this on. Like, I'm not trying to, not talk about our British friends and British boxing, because they are awesome. But yeah, didn't watch it. And I don't know what's going to come from it. I know it was a bad decision, but we'll see.
Not a good sign, because that weight class is so deep. Like, where does Boazzi land now? Like, I don't know.
Boazzi was supposed to fight Yard years ago. That was the fight to make for British boxing. And then that obviously is not happening, because Yard went on, lost, and now he's fighting Benavidez. I don't know. I really don't know what goes on with Boazzi. I think it's a shame.
I really like Boazzi, but this is not a good look for his career.
No, I think he's got to be really paired. He has to be matched carefully. He has to be matched with someone like a Callum Smith. That first fight was earlier this year. That's going to be a top fight of the year candidate. That's going to be one of the nominees when we do our year-end award show. So I don't know, man. But it was a really big weekend in terms of ridiculous rumors, ridiculous headlines, crazy fights being off, potential fights happening. Not just talk about Mayweather-Pacquiao, which we'll get to in a second. Jake Paul versus Gervonta Davis is in some serious trouble. This is because Tank Davis has another allegation from another female that he potentially has put hands on. He has a string of domestic disputes in his past, checkered stuff. The allegations are heinous. MVP put out a statement that they are still investigating. It went right to a civil lawsuit from the accuser. No cops involved. Go read the story if you really want to see all the details or hear the details. They're horrible. We haven't seen anything because our video has not come out. But this obviously has put the fight in major, major jeopardy. Chris Mannix reported that they are searching for replacements. It could be a replacement as early as the fight week of next week. I'm supposed to be flying out there as part of the broadcast. I'm supposed to be the unofficial scorer, which I didn't really tell too many people. I was waiting to announce that myself, but I don't know what's going on. I really don't know. People were tweeting me left and right. Hey, Dan, is the fight happening? Is Tank Jake happening? I'm not part of those conversations with MVP. I'm not part of them, nor do I want to be part of them. I just want to call the fights and do my broadcaster role. But I know they are actively searching, according to Mannix. And there are some very interesting names being thrown about, Chris. But once again, if this doesn't happen and Tank finds himself out of this fight, unbelievable fumble. Like, unbelievable, just horrible situation.
All right, number one, the fight's not happening. Number two, it's not happening next week either. It's getting pushed back. And I'm not saying this like I know this. I'm just saying this. I know how boxing works. I know how this works.
Right.
It's not going to be.
I don't know. I'm just saying right because I'm just nodding right along.
And exactly. Like, yeah, we're not like giving you like inside knowledge.
No, people think I know everything about MVP because I work. I really don't.
Yeah, guys, trust me. I know Dan. Dan does not know what the fuck is going on.
I don't know anything about anything.
Yeah, I did sit down and talk with Mannix, and he was spilling some tea about what's going on. And he doesn't really know either. No one knows.
But he's a reputable – when Mannix tweets something,
reputable source.
He's a very good reporter.
And he doesn't – he's not the kind of guy who's like, well, you know, I want to be first. He wants to be right. So, when he puts out, he actually does his due diligence and does a good job. He's a very, very good reporter. So, you know, he had asked Eddie on the telecast about Anthony Joshua, if that's even possible. I'm sure you've all seen it or you could see it, whatever. Obviously, that's not going to be the next guy. Anthony is coming off of, I believe, a surgery, right? Was it an elbow surgery or something? Anyway,
yeah, had a surgery and he's like slowly working back. But and then
that didn't come up, but whatever.
He's fighting
That fight's not happening, you know, next. Then Ryan Garcia, apparently there's some possibility, but I know Oscar spoke about that, which means no.
Did you watch the Oscar video with Ryan? I'm talking about. Did you watch Oscar shoot down Ryan Garcia for Jake?
Yes, Oscar.
That was a weird video, man.
Oscar's a weird guy. I love Oscar. Ryan's a bit of a weird.
But that
guy.
Relationship is just toxic.
Odd. But it's like it's toxic in the most fun way possible to watch from the outside. Like, I wouldn't want to be in their household, but like watching it on TV, it's like a reality TV show. It's like the Kardashians. Like, that's like it's amazing.
Oscar was, he came off like, I own you, Ryan, and you will not, you'll fight when I say, and then we'll announce your fight. I will announce your next fight. You are not fighting Jake Paul. His points were valid. Like, I know that DAZN and Netflix, like, it's a big time conflict right now. Like, when we're on DAZN, when I'm calling fights for MVP, we cannot say the word Netflix. When they talk about Jake versus Tank and they do promos for it, do not say Netflix. So DAZN has their own fighters. Anthony Joshua is exclusive to DAZN. That's what Eddie Hearn was saying all weekend. That's why I fight with Jake Paul. It's one of the hurdles. If that fight ever happens, who knows? That's a million miles away. But even like a Ryan Garcia, who isn't exactly exclusive to DAZN himself, but he's under the Golden Boy banner. Golden Boy is exclusive to DAZN. Golden Boy wants to stay in the good graces of DAZN. So therefore, we're not going to allow our star, Ryan Garcia, to fight on Netflix against Jake Paul. It's pretty much the beginning of what Oscar said, which I 100% agree, and that's part of the business. But then he went too far and was like, kind of like, you can see that he does not like Ryan Garcia and Ryan does not like Oscar. And he started to get into like this things where like, I pretty much own your rights. And I was like, damn, this is a bad relationship.
Classic promoter fighter relationship. And even at the lower levels, like even like my own career, like I experienced that myself, like promoters really speaking on your behalf and acting like they own you. And then, to a degree, they kind of do. Ryan obviously is a huge star, and he's got his entire whole orbit going on. But at the same time, listen, there's a contract, and Oscar's not dumb, and neither are his lawyers. So he says the things he says. There is some weight to it, but Yeah, the power struggles with the Netflix thing is pretty interesting, because that came up a lot this weekend too when I was talking to some of these guys. So, you know, who do we get potentially? It's probably going to be someone random and weird from out of nowhere.
Oh, for Jake?
Yeah.
I like Jake versus Francis Ngannou.
I don't hate that. Don't hate that at all.
When that came up, as Coppinger reported that, you got to take that with a grain of salt, because Cop and MVP don't see face to face, don't see eye to eye. Did not come from Mannix. There was a lot of names being thrown out this weekend for potential opponent for Tank Davis, potential opponent for Jake Paul. Terrence Crawford, put that at 1%, if that. Nate Diaz, which would be a rematch. They already fought. I don't see that happening. Ryan Garcia got shot down very quickly. Francis Ngannou came up, and I legitimately was like, wow, I kind of really like that. Doesn't have a lot of boxing ability. Obviously, he's one of the baddest men in the world inside of a cage, arguably the best MMA heavyweight right now. We know that he has boxed before against Tyson Fury, where he lost, and then Anthony Joshua
and
embraced
Anthony Joshua.
Him.
He's got like... What was that? How many rounds did he go with Joshua? One?
Two.
So he's got
12 rounds of experience.
12 rounds of boxing at world-class level.
There is
zero chance that happens. No way does Jake fight Ngannou.
If he does, salute to you, Jake. Once again, I know nothing.
Yes.
Once again, I know nothing. Let me preface this by saying I know nothing. If he fights Ngannou, I put it on Twitter, not the greatest barometer, but people were liking it. They weren't like, Dan, mm-hmm. Shut up. You like, stop talking about MVP. They liked it. And another thing, too, with Ngannou is he is not signed to the UFC. UFC doesn't have to be involved with this. He's signed to the PFL. Jake works with the PFL. Jake, I believe, has some type of investment, has a piece of the PFL. I could be wrong. Some type of deal where he promotes PFL fights and has promoted Ngannou and spoke on Ngannou's behalf. It could be made. This fight could be made. Will Jake take it on short notice? Is it an advantage for Jake to not get Francis to have a full fight camp? Will it even matter? Is Francis just too much of an athlete?
Doesn't matter.
Striker?
Doesn't matter. He's too big. Jake has not fought anyone anywhere near his size. He's not taking that fight.
It would
fight.
Be hilarious Listen. For Jake to go from Tank, 135-pounder, to a guy that's four times the size of Tank Davis and Francis Ngannou. That would just be – the storylines are galore for a fight like that.
Cool. Now we're finding a guy who's 260, literally double the weight class. Double. He's going to go from 130 to 260. That would be...
Jake's right now. What do you got to say now, guys? What do you got to say? I'm fighting a heavyweight.
Oh, that would be awesome. That would be so awesome. But
the talking points are there. I'm fighting a heavyweight now. You guys say fight someone your own size, or I'm fighting a guy even bigger. He arguably beat Tyson Fury. He'll hammer that home forever. I mean, this is a guy who's the baddest MMA guy.
It would give him so much cred. Ridiculous cred. Huge. It would give him cred with everyone. It would give him street cred. It would give him boxing cred. It would give him... real cred. Even though he's not fighting a real boxer, he's fighting a really dangerous guy. And we really haven't seen that. And it would be a fight where we go into it, we're like, I don't know if he's going to win this fight. But that's not happening. It's way too close, way too soon. But also, another reason that's not going to happen, marketing-wise, that's a huge buildup. That's a tremendous marketing opportunity to build that fight up going into it. They're not going to rush that. If he were ever to fight Ngannou, which I'm telling you right now, he won't ever fight Ngannou. But if he were, there would be a tremendous marketing push for that, because it would be so awesome. Ngannou is such a good story.
Yeah,
you can't rush that fight.
I get it. You can't rush fight. You can't rush fights. You have to let them breathe. You have to build them up. And that's a big part of what MVP does. They're huge into marketing and they're very good at it. But there also is something about a replacement fight. The excitement. The fact that we live in the social media world.
It's going to be Diaz. It's going to be Diaz again.
Oh man, I don't know.
Let's be honest. Let's be honest. It's gonna be a Diaz rematch.
I don't know if Netflix would want that.
Well, that's an issue too. But how are you gonna sell any other? But they're pipe dreams. You can't.
The Ryan Garcia fight would have been interesting.
Yes, absolutely. Another fight that the buildup would have been better. But that's one I think you could do. Short notice, but that's obviously not happening. Terrence Crawford, absolutely not. Anthony Joshua, absolutely not. Who else did they say? Who are the
Nate
other
Diaz. Names?
That's the one.
My dad kept throwing around Cormier.
Cormier? No.
Because Cormier's been talking trash.
I bet you Dustin Poirier would be
Poirier.
More, Poirier would be
maybe,
more
maybe my dad said Poirier realistic. And I couldn't hear him. Maybe he said Poirier, not Cormier.
Yeah, no.
Either
Dustin
or.
Poirier, yeah, I used to spar him boxing wise. His boxing is good. He's a way smaller.
Isn't he retired or is he still under contract to UFC?
I don't know.
UFC fighter is fighting on Netflix against Jake Paul. Like that's major hurdles there. Ngannou's a free man. We know that. Ryan Garcia got shot down. I will push back on the we have to build up the Ngannou thing because I think there is something about a replacement fight. It would be a month from now. That's plenty of time. Social media world, you can get the word out so quick. The way that fight would spread, I think it would do better if you did it quicker than some of these promotions that drag out for too long. Like the Tyson Paul promotion dragged out forever because Tyson got sick and stopped and they had to redo it. And there was you had to stop and go. The momentum was like, it wasn't there like it should have been. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens with this Jake Paul thing. One thing that did come out of this too is, speaking of Ryan Garcia is going to be fighting Mario Barrios the first quarter of next year for Barrios' WBC welterweight title. So Ryan Garcia, who was 1-2-1, the one being a no contest in his last four fights, drug suspension, coming off of a loss to Rolly Romero, gets a title shot if this comes true against Mario Barrios.
Dan, correct me. Please, has he won a fight at welterweight?
No, he has not.
Okay. He's coming off a loss.
Correct.
And the fight before that was a drug suspension.
Confirmed.
Walking into a world title fight against, I'm sorry, Mario Barros. I love you, dude. Great guy. Low-hanging fruit. Absolutely absurd what boxing allows. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. Barrios has the best manager, has had an unbelievable career when it comes to opponents. This guy has fought Tank Davis, Keith Thurman, Manny Pacquiao. He fought on the Tyson Paul undercard, and now he's potentially getting Ryan Garcia. All because
and he's got,
the last
and fights, all. Sorry, go ahead, finish that. Sorry.
Good. I mean, this guy couldn't beat Manny Pacquiao. He had a wounded gazelle in front of him, a 46-year-old. Guy in front of him and couldn't pull the trigger. Like, how do you even handicap that fight? Do you think Ryan, like, are we seeing, is it the Ryan that fought Rolly? Because I think Barrios actually has a chance. The Ryan that we saw against Haney, like, has a ton of asterisks next to it. The Ryan that fought Duarte actually looked pretty good.
Yeah.
Ryan that fought Gervonta was a skeleton. Like, can Ryan Garcia beat Barrios? Like, how are we handicapping that fight? What are the odds?
It's two guys who are really inconsistent. But the inconsistency of Ryan allows him to be really good some nights. All the names you mentioned, Mario's big fights, he lost all of them. He lost to Gervonta. He lost to Thurman. He had a draw with Manny, which is a loss.
He had a draw with Ramos, too.
Abel Ramos, which is a loss. The guy's a journeyman. You get a draw with him, it's a loss. Even though you kept your title and you get paid and you fought on a huge undercard. I'm not knocking the kid. I really like him. I really like him. I like his team.
No, he's a great guy.
Great guy. He's had a great, great career. But talk about a Midas touch, because you're talking about it's failing upward. And so is Ryan. It's two guys failing upward that are meeting for a belt. It's very odd. And it's something that can only happen in boxing.
What they're doing is they're trying to build up this Devin Haney Ryan Garcia rematch. So if Haney beats Norman, he gets one piece of the welterweight crown, and Ryan beats Barrios, that's the other half or one another part. It becomes a unification, gets some type of juice. They can rekindle that. They can resurface it. They can revisit it, I should say, for 2026. Yeah. Still a good. I mean, I still want to see Haney Ryan Garcia. Do I have to have belts attached to it? Not really. Like,
not at all.
It's ridiculous what these belts are. Mario Barrios is able to get these fights because he has a WBC welterweight title. It's currency. I mean, these belts are insane. And we're talking about getting rid of them. They allow fighters to make more money. Yes, the 3% licensing fee or sanctioning fee. Barrios is smiling when he hits send on that one on his bank account. Smiling. Because of some of the purses that he's getting to fight Pacquiao, fighting on the Tyson card. They were paying those fighters big time Netflix money. Ugas was a big fight for him. Thurman, Gervonta. Good God. That's a murderer's row of big time fights for Mario Barrios. That is nuts. Ryan Garcia getting a title shot.
I'm just a big sigh for me. I don't have a whole lot. That hurts.
It's
my heart.
Hard. I literally, when I saw this, I said Chris is going to freak out.
Because first of all, there used to be a rule that coming off a loss, you can't fight for a world title. That has gone completely to the wayside because we see it all the time. It's out of control. These guys who were able to come off losses based on their name, even Tim Zhu, someone I really like, he was coming off a loss, went right into a world title fight, but at least his loss was controversial. Ryan just didn't show up against Rolis and lost and completely gave that fight away, which is a fight that I thought was handed to him on a silver platter, and he loses and he gets another opportunity against, again, one of the weaker guys, probably the weakest champion in the division at welterweight, and this kid is going to be offered another world title. I mean, if he fucks this one up, forget it. Like,
He's got to win. This is it. This is it for him. Ryan, this is it for
no,
Ryan.
It's not. That's the problem. It's not it for him. That's not
we'll
it
go
for
to
him.
Misfits or something. Like,
no,
we
won't.
Jake Paul.
No, we won't. They'll keep giving him opportunities.
I don't know, man. If he loses back-to-back fights to Rolly and then Barrios, that is a hard sell. That's a hard journey back for Ryan Garcia. He should beat Barrios. I mean,
he should. But he, again, he might mess it up again.
He said he was injured against Rolly.
I mean, who's to say he's going to
be healthy? He looked so bad against Rolly that I almost believe that he was injured.
Okay, so but I don't injury is one thing. I was talking about this over the weekend. Like, you know, there was a lot of not making excuses for him, but like in terms of the rollout to the fight, the atmosphere that could have affected him. He's a guy who likes to perform. But regardless, it doesn't matter. If you're a world champion, you perform. If you're going to be a world champion, you perform, you win. And Rolly's did that night. Rolly's is another guy.
Where does he fit into all this? I thought Rolly was fighting Pacquiao, which will be our next topic. But like,
yeah, I thought for I sure that he was going to get that. But how do you give Ryan the title fight with Barrios and you just leave Rolly's out? If anything, it should be Rolly's and Barrios.
Well, Rolly's supposed to be fighting that Gisyov. I don't know how to pronounce it. Gisyov. The guy that's been the mandatory for years.
Gisyov,
this guy. Yeah. They're like running it. They're like, no more step aside. Like this is it. He has to fight him. And I think
a matchroom guy.
And I think that's what played into Pacquiao now pivoting to a Mayweather or Lomachenko and all that. But before we move to that topic, when do you ever see a champion with two back-to-back draws on their BoxRec and their most recent fights? That's wild. I'm looking at Barrios.
In history, I don't think ever. What's his last five? What's his last five record?
Pacquiao, 0-0-2. 1-2. 1-0-2. 2-0-2. He won three before the two draws. He beat Fabian Medina, Ugas, yes. Giovanni Santiago. He stopped Santiago. He lost back to back Tank.
So he's 3-0-2 in his last five.
Yeah, but hasn't fought a lot either. His five fights ago, he was fighting Tank in 2021.
All right, so he's 3-2-2.
Yeah,
in his last seven.
Wild, champion.
Yep. Multiple defenses. Draws or defenses, guys?
Yeah. I'm not hating. It's just wild. It's just like
wild.
One of the more crazier careers when you go look back on. Rolly was supposed to fight Pacquiao, and Pacquiao was in the news list. We haven't talked about this yet, Chris.
I know.
Manny Pacquiao, Floyd Mayweather 2 is potentially in the works for 2026. Go down on Netflix at the Sphere. Let me just quickly just get this out of the way. Please spare me with the dramatics about this fight. Spare me with the, this is bad for boxing. No, it isn't bad for boxing. Boxing is bad already. It's the red light district of sports. There's no moral high ground when it comes to boxing. We're in the dirt. So a Mayweather-Pacquiao fight, you can't say shame on the people that want to put this together. Shame on Manny and Floyd when we are already a sport that just has a number of problems. It's going to generate revenue, millions and millions of dollars. That's what this sport has always been about. That's what this fight is about. They will fight. It will be fun. Maybe it won't. The sun will rise the next day. Boxing will be fine. Just please spare me with the dramatics about this being some embarrassment to boxing, Pacquiao Mayweather. It is very low on the list of embarrassing things about the sport. Just wanted to get that off my chest.
Dan, I'm with you. I don't understand the outrage for this. You got two old guys fighting each other. It's a legends fight. Who cares? Let them make money. It's going to make everyone money. I mean, I don't think they're going to hurt each other either. So it's like, I'd rather see that. I don't want to see Manny fight another potentially damaging fight. Like that Barrios fight, we spoke about this off air. He was redlining it all night long and had a guy in front of him who was fighting in the second gear. So like someone who like legit at welterweight who's really trying to really fight and win and is a real problem. I don't want to see Manny fight that kind of guy. I'd much rather him fight a 48-year-old Floyd Mayweather. Listen, the first fight sucked. We're not expecting this fight to be awesome. Like, whatever. It's a spectacle. But in terms of spectacles in our sport, this is a good one. I don't want to see a 60-year-old Mike Tyson fight again. But these guys fighting each other, they're at least fighting each other. They're at least fighting another old guy. I don't understand the uproar. I don't understand the saying this is so bad for boxing. It's not. It's a legends fight. Who cares? They're not fighting for a title. They're not stepping in line in front of other guys, other contenders. They're fighting each other. They can make a ton of money for each other and everyone around them. And it's something for us to talk about. Why not? Who cares?
Yeah, the one thing I will push back on my own statement that I just made. Has anyone ever done that? A push back on their own statement would be the indictment part. This is an indictment on boxing. Because would I love for Netflix to invest in boxing? Of course. I'm being realistic, though. They're not going to. Would I wish that there were some stars out there today, currently, that could generate the type of buzz that a Mayweather Pacquiao did in 2010 to 2015? Of course. I really do wish Netflix... I wish Ryan Garcia wasn't 1-2-1 in his last five. And Netflix was like, we want Haney versus Garcia. I'm going to put it on Netflix. And everyone gets excited. And I get that part. But in terms of this, like hurting boxing, no, it's not going to hurt boxing. Like they're going to do their fight night. Hopefully they stack the undercard and they put some really good fights on Netflix. And we get to watch Mayweather Pacquiao fight again, and whatever happens there, if it's a real fight, then there's some intrigue here of Mayweather putting his O on the line against a Pacquiao that did fight in his a couple months ago. Yeah, he was redlining, and he looked okay. So Pacquiao has been a lot more active in terms of like real fights. I know Floyd has done exhibitions. Yeah. Floyd has done exhibitions. He's in great shape, and I miss Floyd too. I would love to see him back in that element. Like, I don't want to see any of the stuff he's doing now. He's doing a lot of, like, political stuff, and, like, I don't want to see any of that. I want to see Floyd, like, back. Like, I watched some clips from 24/7. Got so jazzed up for that. Like, I don't know. Maybe it's wishful thinking to think Mayweather would come back like that. I don't know. I just think it's whatever. Like you said, it's, like, it's not a huge fight. It's not the worst thing. Big fights are getting made around the clock in this sport because of Saudi and whatever reason. So it's not like this is the crown jewel of the boxing schedule for next year, where it's like, this is all we got. Like, we're still going to have big fights next year. It's just, like you said, it's a legends fight. And if Pacquiao could somehow beat Mayweather, that would be insanity. That would be nuts.
And then they'll fight again.
They'll just keep going until they're 60. Yeah. It would be like a Rocky thing. Like, I don't know. I just, the dramatics are crazy. And I'll push back on something you said. I don't think the first fight was that bad. It wasn't good compared to what people thought it was going to be. Like, people were expecting, I'm not saying you, people were expecting some Rock'em Sock'em Gotti Ward. Like, that fight played out exactly how I thought it was going to play out.
Me too.
Mayweather was going to pick him off all night, and Pacquiao was going to be the aggressor. It was still a decent fight. It wasn't horrible. It just didn't live up to the hype.
Nah, it wasn't a good fight. I'm not saying it wasn't good, like it was unexpected, because I thought that's exactly how I thought the fight was going to go. And I said it literally walking out of the ring with Pacquiao. I did a pretty well known interview where people were asking me, like, oh man, like, you know, how good is Pacquiao? And I was like, yeah, he's phenomenal. He's way too much for me tonight. It was more than I expected, whatever. And like, well, how do you think he's going to do it against Floyd? And immediately I was like, he's going to lose. And people are like, but he just beat you. And I'm like, yeah, but styles make fights. And I know how Floyd fights. And I just know how I've already felt this guy now. I know how they match up. It's not a good matchup for him. He'll never – it's just not – this version of Floyd beats Manny handily. He's going to shut him down. He's going to shut him off.
Even this version now – oh, you're talking about like the version – you're talking about
2015. That was back then. That was 11 years ago. I don't know. I don't know what version of Floyd we're dealing with now. But so like –
Pacquiao right before he fought Mayweather.
Right. He beat me to get the Mayweather fight.
Insane. If you would have beat Pacquiao, would you have gotten Mayweather?
No, we would have an immediate rematch.
But eventually, okay, yeah.
Right. And if he would have beat me, it would turn into a Tim Bradley situation. If I had beaten him, I would have fought, you know, Pacquiao. And then if he had beaten me, then we'd have a third fight. Or if I had beaten him.
Four times?
Three times. And if I had beaten Manny twice, then I would have got Mayweather probably. I thought I was going to get Mayweather after the Khan fight. So my plan was, because they were talking about Khan fighting Mayweather and he had to get past me. And Khan was like, I'm going to beat him worse than Manny. Manny went 12 of them. I'm going to knock him out in one round, and then I'm going to get the Floyd fight. But Amir had such an underwhelming performance that night, and most people thought he lost, that he did not get the Mayweather fight, which is why he then fought Canelo. He went up and just
took that God.
My plan was to beat Khan and then call out Mayweather in the ring, but obviously I didn't beat Khan, so I didn't get that opportunity.
Oh, I thought you'd beat Khan.
Yeah, but the judges didn't, and that's all that matters.
And he's calling out Manny. It was a big weekend of call-outs. Like, I saw Khan calling, trying to get Pacquiao's attention. I saw a bunch of guys trying to get Jake Paul's attention, like these MMA fighters, guys you never heard of. It's just crazy. It is the red light district. That's what I said. This sport is nuts. Let's not pretend there is a high ground. There is no high ground. We're all down the dirt, guys. Like, this is the craziest sport in the world. It's so crazy that the
Wild mainstream West.
Yeah. Mainstream sports doesn't even recognize the sport. They just it just goes untouched, unnoticed. But Mayweather Pacquiao, when they make headlines, that makes headlines. You know, when they say they may fight, it makes headlines. It was everywhere. That what was it, like Monday of this week when Coppinger reported that? It was literally everywhere. I'm sure you were asked about it nonstop. People texting me. Like it is kind of like this is where boxing's at if you don't really follow the sport enough to know. But no, we are getting big fights. Yeah, they are happening in Saudi Arabia. Don't ask how they're getting made or why, but we are getting the big fights. Something I wanted to say about this fight too. Oh, yeah. It is a lot of – I'm getting a lot of flashbacks to 2015 because it's a lot of Pacquiao doing the talking. Have you noticed? Floyd hasn't said a word.
Yeah.
Floyd hasn't said anything.
You know, I think that what we said about Pacquiao in the Mario Barros fight where – he was fighting a guy who was in second gear, but was still redlining the whole time. He realized his age. It's like, maybe I don't want to get back in with one of these guys. But Floyd, his fifth gear is my fifth gear. And we're in the same kind of car. So let's see if that can happen. And also there's a big money fight. There's a lot of money attached to that. People are interested in that fight. It's a chance for revenge, even, you know, way past his prime, but whatever. I mean, I think the fight makes a lot of sense for Pacquiao to really call out Floyd. What's the worst that happens? He loses again and he gets paid $50 million.
There's no, you know? Yeah. It's
a win-win.
Pacquiao's got nothing to lose.
Nothing
to Mayweather lose. Has everything to lose. Mayweather has this all to lose. His whole life is built on that. His whole retirement is built on that. Even, like, I don't know his money issues. I've read some stuff on Twitter, too. Twitter's not the end-all be-all, but some crazy stuff about Floyd's finances. It's all always about, man. It's about money. Like, let's not pretend here. And you have a streaming service in Netflix that just has so much money. And they love these types of fights. This is what Netflix is interested in. They're interested in Jake versus Tank type of fights. They're interested in Floyd versus Pacquiao too. Yes, they put on Taylor Serrano. But they just saw how many viewership. The viewership for that from the Tyson-Paul fight. Yeah, so like it's just a perfect storm. I don't think it has anything to do with the current state of boxing. I think boxing will be just fine if they do step into the ring. If Mayweather puts his O on the line, kind of crazy. And I think Pacquiao was like, yeah, you know what? If I can pivot to like a Mayweather, I can pivot to a Lomachenko exhibition. That does nothing for me. Like, what's the point of that? Like,
no.
Besides some like big upfront money somewhere.
He just fought for a world title against a 30-year-old. He needs a real fight. Like, imagine if he had won that fight. You don't think
that would have changed everything?
It would have flip-flopped. It would have been Floyd calling him out and being like, oh, we're going to make this fight. He won another world title.
If Ryan Garcia beat Rolly, Ryan would have a belt. And I think we would have saw Ryan versus Pacquiao, or at least would have been in a discussion. It would have been an option.
I don't think so. I think Floyd always would trump every situation.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah.
If Mayweather won that title, Floyd would be like, I can be world champion again. I can beat Floyd. I can beat Manny again. That fight, he's going to step in front of everybody.
It was like a twofold thing. It was just options. If Ryan beat Rolly, Ryan has a belt. That's a very fruitful option for Pacquiao. If Pacquiao wins and beat Barrios, he can then go to Mayweather. It's all about options. You know, like when you're negotiating, you have leverage. And I mean, but Ryan lost to Rolly. Pacquiao gets a draw. Now we have Pacquiao drumming up a fight with Mayweather. Does it have to have a belt attached to it? I don't think so. It would add a little something. A little pizzazz,
I think it's better off for the, if we're talking about the integrity of the sport, I think it's better off that there is no belt and it becomes a true legends fight. But I think it should be a real fight. The record should be on the line.
Pacquiao's pushing for that, but if Mayweather says no, it's not. I'm not doing a real fight. Is Pacquiao going to say, okay, I'm walking away? No.
And I'm still going to be interested. I don't care.
This is exactly how the first negotiation went. It was all Pacquiao putting the pressure, all Pacquiao doing all the talking. Mayweather doesn't say anything, but Mayweather is a businessman, and I'm sure he's mulling it over. But it's been a lot of Pacquiao talking and not a lot of Floyd talking.
This fight's happening.
Sphere?
It's happening. I don't know if it's happening in the Sphere. But, I mean, where else would it could be? I mean, there's so much money.
No, it's a Vegas fight. It's a Vegas fight.
Of course it is. If Floyd is Vegas, he used to bring $1 billion there on his fight weekends. Like, it might even be more now. Inflation.
Yeah, that's a Vegas fight. The Sphere would be cool. I know it's a pain if you followed UFC. Dana White's a never again. Netflix has the budget. And if they stacked that undercard, it could be a pretty fun night. We can, you know, have a little something for everyone coming from that one. All right, Chris, it's November 2nd. I was just talked about how October was one of the worst boxing months in a long time. You know, the Fundora Thurman fight falling out really messed things up in terms of just getting at least one really good fight card. There was some other fight, Parker versus Wardley.
Awesome.
That was a saving grace for the month. But we're in November. November boxing is loaded. The highlight, November 22nd, Saudi Arabia, Devin Haney versus Brian Norman, Benavidez versus Yard, Bam Rodriguez versus Puma Martinez, Abdullah Mason's first title shot versus Sam Noakes. We have Virgil Ortiz versus Erickson Lubin this month. We have the Eubank Conor Benn rematch. We also have the returns of Rafael Espinoza, Emiliano Vargas, Richard Torres. Loaded month. I am so excited because October stunk. So now let's go to November, big time boxing.
Yes, and I mean, you're blowing me away with those names because there's so many, they overlap and you kind of forget who's fighting because there's just so many good matchups. I think the rest of this year is going to be pretty hot.
December's pretty good too.
Yeah, like we had a little bit of a reprieve, right? It was like August, like mid-August, September. It
hasn't been a big fight since Canelo Crawford.
Right. Yeah, no.
We got December, we got San Antonio.
December 6th. San Antonio, we got Roach and Cruz. It's actually a really good card because you got Janabek and Lara on the undercard. And who's the other one on the undercard of that?
Oshaki Foster versus
Fulton. Yes, which is a really good fight. Really looking forward to that one. What's your favorite? Like, what are you thinking?
For November?
Yeah.
I'm so excited for Haney and Norman. I think he's got everything this fight. I think this fight stylistically is super intriguing in terms of how Haney will come in there and perform at 147 after his fight against Ramirez. Norman being the unknown, but has like knockout power, throwing the fact like all the repercussions on it could have for 147. Like if Haney wins this, like, you know, he's back and he's a big name and he is putting his chest out there and he can take on all comers at 147 and rightfully so. Norman wins. We have a new star on our hands. Like, Norman knocks out Haney. Whew.
Super important fight. Two guys fighting in their prime, and both of them taking a huge risk here. And, the winner has so much to look forward to, and the loser's embarrassed. It's an embarrassing loss for both these guys. Either way, this is an embarrassing loss. I like it. This is all or nothing kind of fight. And we don't see that with young guys putting up their O's. You know, obviously Devin's O has an asterisk, but he's still undefeated. That's definitely the prize jewel of the group.
It's not even the main event. I believe Benavidez Yard is the main event.
My next choice was going to be Benavidez Yard, a fight that I'm very excited about and have been for a while because I'm a big fan of Anthony Yard. And I've said this on the show many times. I think he's super exciting. He's willing to fight anybody. He's super explosive. He's really dangerous. This is a dangerous fight for Benavidez because Oh, I'm just picturing that overhand right of Yard. Boom, that overhand right that he throws. It's super explosive, and Benavidez gets hit, man. He's willing to exchange. He's there. He's got a really busy left hand. The overhand right can be there. And Benavidez at this weight is not a one-punch guy.
Nope.
So he's going to have to break you down. And Yard has that one-punch power. So it's like, it's a really interesting matchup. Like, I expect Benavidez to win. I expect him to really dominate and do damage, but I think it's going to be fun while it lasts. But I would not be surprised if Anthony Yard had a lot of success in that fight.
I love that one. I think Bam and Puma Martinez is flying way under the radar.
Yes.
I mean, Puma Martinez, I mean, this guy is
bad boy.
18-0. He's had the two back-to-back wins over Ioka. He did a lot of damage at the lower weights and has been a champ for a while. Bam is Bam. And this is one of Bam's biggest tests and toughest fights. And Bam's talking about wanting to fight Inoue and Nakatani. And he's like, I'm ready after this fight to take on the big boys. So that fight is flying way under the radar. Anytime Bam steps in the ring, it's must watch. Now he's fighting a guy that's red hot too in Puma. Like, that's an awesome fight.
Yeah, well, Bam's one of the best fighters in the world, hands down. You know, pound for pound guy. He's been working his way up the rankings for pound for a while, but this is a really tough fight. I speak to Robert Garcia regularly, and they understand each and every fight. Robert's so good at not looking past anyone. He's so good at that for his fighters. So I know they're taking this fight really seriously. I haven't spoken to them directly about it, but it's just the way they move. But like you said, this is his biggest test to date. And I mean biggest in terms of size, biggest in terms of ability, biggest in terms of what's on the cusp of him with a win here. So tons of pressure on Bam Rodriguez, but whenever we've seen him with a lot of pressure, the guy knocks it out of the park. So let's see what he can do. A really tough guy.
Yeah, Abdullah Mason, first title shot, Sam Noakes. This could be Noakes. Abdullah Mason's like coming out party.
Could be coronation.
Yes. The only thing is once again, wish this card was in the U.S. This is a U.S. This card in Vegas or L.A. or I get it. We have to just be happy they're happening. But, you know, Haney and Norman is like a U.S. fight. I mean, this is determined the next potential face of boxing in USA. Like, bam, USA guy fights at San Antonio. Abdullah Mason, we need.
He needs to build his star power here for sure, because he's the kind of guy that, listen, he's not going to talk his way into it. It's just going to be watching how incredible he is in the ring, because, Abdullah Mason is one of the most talented, physically talented, most beautiful guys to watch out there stylistically that we have in these divisions and these younger guys coming up. It's going to be really tough for him to build a fan base overseas.
I don't think they'll do all the fights there. Just this big card. It's a Riyadh season card. This is what they do. That's November 22nd. Next weekend, Virgil Ortiz, Erickson Lubin. There's a ton riding on this fight for Virgil. Potential fight with Boots. Eddie said he'll be there ringside. Boots, I think, will be ringside with him. I expect fireworks in this fight. Lubin isn't coming to lay down. Lubin's coming to revive his career. Awesome fight, Virgil and Lubin.
This is two offensive machines meeting. They're both on the same track in terms of like a train, and they're going to meet. You can't look past Lubin, man. He's a dangerous, dangerous guy. He's 30 years old, but he's the old vet, and he's offensive. He's strong. He's got power. He's got grit. That Fundora fight, dude, he was this close. His face failed him in that fight. He was in that fight. He dropped Fundora a couple rounds before the fight got stopped. He's very much in that fight. He's a very dangerous guy. Charlo, he got caught. That can happen to anyone. He got caught with a peach of a punch, and that just put him away. That happens. But the Fundora fight, he really showed that he can dig down and bite down and fight. And with Virgil, at 54, he's not the same guy at 47 where he just runs you over. Like, he has to really fight and show skills at 54. You know, in terms of one-punch power, Lubin might be the bigger puncher in this fight. So he's going to have to respect Lubin's skill. He's a southpaw, so he's punching from that position. And this is a fight that I have talked to Robert Garcia about, and they are very aware of how dangerous Lubin is, and they are not looking past this fight, even though a lot of pundits are talking past this fight. I really don't think they should. I think some people are thinking that Lubin is past his prime. He's taken too much damage in his young career. We won't know that until fight night, but don't be surprised if we have an absolute barn burner in that one.
Oh, I think it's going to be a barn burner. I think Bergdrill is always in barn burners. I think Lubin's going to have to bring it to him. He's not going to try to outbox him. I love this fight. I'm so happy it's coming this weekend, too. It's like, let's not wait till the 22nd to get a big fight. Let's go. Virgil, so many storylines with this fight. And, you know, but Virgil, he's building a nice little resume, 154. The Boachuk win, the Madrimov win, the Lubin win. I mean, those are three really good wins, and that's going to be better than any
if he wins against Lubin. The fight hasn't happened yet. So
right. If I just did what you just said, like don't look past. If he beats Lubin, that's three really nice wins at 154. That's really going to prepare him for what's next, whether it's a unification bout, whether it's a boots fight, which does not have a title fight. Bakram, I think, is fighting Josh Kelly. Did you see that?
They've been talking about that. I know they had a problem with the purse bid. And making that happen. It's not a big profile fight, so there's probably not going to be a lot of money in it. And it's a really dangerous fight for Josh Kelly. But what the hell?
Just get in the ring, though.
What other choice does he have? What's the choice that Josh Kelly has at this point? You're getting a world title fight, dude.
Props to him. Props to him for getting in the ring.
Not props to him. Do what you're supposed to do. You want to be world champion? You're going to fight at 54? Guess what? They're all killers. Go fight the guy. You get an opportunity. Fight him.
The Conor Ben Eubank rematch. It's impossible for them to replicate the buzz for the first fight. Impossible in terms of the buildup, and then what happened on fight night was straight out of a movie. But of course they're going to run it back. I don't know what's going on in the UK. Is there buzz for this fight over there? If you're watching or listening to this in the comment section, let us know. I put something on Twitter, but no one really responded. Like, what's the buzz for this fight? Because I feel like it's completely non-existent.
Yeah, they had a bunch of clips last night on the telecast for the fights on the zone. And, you know, they do those face-offs, right? And leading up to the first fight, those face-offs were awesome. I remember watching those face-offs.
On his head.
And being like, no, I'm sorry. The face-to-face sit-down talks. Not face-off, right? So they did a bunch of those interviews. They're sitting on the chairs. You know, Connor's sitting with the chair here and, you know, and Eubank's over there being very chill, like basically drinking a cup of tea and Ben's barking at him and spitting and whatever. This time, they almost look like friends. It just it didn't have that same vitriol that the first one had. Eubank looked very disinterested. It wasn't like he was the fast talking, really good, smart quips like he had the first time around. This time, he was just like kind of sunning him. He's like, "I beat you last time, I'll beat you again." And Ben was trying to. And Ben was trying to like get it out of him to sell the fight, and Eubank wasn't biting. It just wasn't selling the way it was the first time.
As I said, it's impossible to replicate the first one. Yeah. It's impossible. Like, I know they're doing a rematch because they're obligated contractually to do it, and it was such a big financial success. So even if it does 50 or 60% of the first fights, they're all going to make a lot of money too. But I would say to Eubank, like, are they still doing that same weight too? Like, is this the same ridiculous weight cut? Yeah, right?
As far as I know, yeah. And I think the biggest story of this fight is Bomac. Bomac in the corner of Eubank. That's the biggest change. the weight's the same. You know, the combatants are the same. But now you've got Bomac training Chris Eubank. And, you know, he had Bomac when he had the rematch with Liam Smith. We saw how that went. You know, like, is it going to matter? Is that going to be the difference? Is that going to be, you know, what Eubank needs to secure another win and to be even more dominant? Because he even said, he's like, the fact that I didn't knock him out bothers me. I want to go out there and knock him out. I want to stop him. He's like, but at the end of the day, like, I want to win. And Bomac is a destructive coach, obviously. You know, his best pupil is Terrence Crawford. But also, you know, Ben, younger guy, more explosive, has been 12 rounds in a tough fight now. Like, he's a different guy now too. But in terms of, like you said, in terms of the marketing and building up the fight, I think they have so much cred from the first fight. You don't have to sell it verbally.
Name recognition.
Just go fight, guys. Just go put on a good fight. Because the worst thing
could very much well be an awesome fight. We can be poo-pooing the hype, and it could deliver.
But we don't need the hype. Who cares? Go out there and fight the way you did the first time. If they go out there and they put on like a fight, it's going to hurt the legacy of the first fight.
It's so funny because like both guys are going like after this fight are like going to go their separate ways and with their careers. Yeah. Like Ben's going to go to 147 and try to fight for a title because he has popularity. I think if Eubank wins, I think he's in the discussion for that Canelo
fight. Absolutely. 100%.
So if he loses, I don't think he gets the Canelo fight. So if I was
he still might be in discussion for that.
Yeah, but like we're making a Canelo coming up. Yeah, Canelo off a loss versus Eubank. But I'm just going to go with the fact that I think if Eubank wins, it builds his case even bigger for him to fight Canelo.
For sure.
If he loses, it hurts it tremendously. So he should be thinking that in his head, which he definitely is. Yeah, I just talked myself into being excited for that fight. And they should hire us. They should fucking hire us to promote these fights. We kind of do, in a way.
That's what we do. We promote boxing, Dan. That's what we do.
We promote the sport. Good, bad, and the ugly. We touched on everything in this episode. Travel. We touched on Mayweather Pacquiao, Jake Paul. Nonsense. Like, yeah, bro, this sport is absurd. I think the last 8 weeks are going to be a sprint to the finish. And it should be a fun 8 weeks because the last month has been boring. I'm not going to lie. But Parker Wardley was fun. But we need every weekend. We need excitement. We need.
That was more than fun, dude. That was like a fight of the year. I'll take a slow month if we get a fight like that.
Yeah, exactly. We get one fight of the month candidate every fight of the year candidate every month. It was hard to say. That's a hard. I'm done. I'm done with this episode. I can't.
For people at home, this is late at night on a Sunday. I've been 9 p.m. traveling all day. We're both, I know, we're not on our A game. This is,
I had fun this episode. I wasn't traveling today. I was just chilling. You were trains, planes, and automobiles, and I got to give you props for coming doing the show. This is what Chris is all over the place. Movie set, calling fights. He's
in the air, on the trains, in the
You must be airports. Racking up in ridiculous frequent flyer miles.
I should share that one of these days. My JetBlue points, like we're
Are you flying
we're,
the plane at this point.
We're in the seven figures. I probably have enough airtime. I probably could
get a jet named after you. I remember my dad when at his height he was like 3 million, two or three million with American Airlines.
That's pretty awesome. Yeah, I've got 1 point like something on JetBlue. Yeah, I mean every vacation I ever go on, I don't pay for anything. Hotels, Chris flights, vacation, we're good.
Algeria.
Not that I ever go on vacations. But.
Yeah, I was going to say, when do you ever go on a vacation? We'll be back later this week to preview Virgil Ortiz and Erickson Lubin, and I'm sure we should get some other news with this Jake and Tank situation, maybe Pacquiao stuff, rumors. Who knows? Shakur might call me out again. Shakur sparred Jake.
Saw that. I saw pictures of that. Yeah.
Pissed off a lot of people.
Why?
Because they're like, Shakur said he was not going to talk about Tank anymore, but then he goes and helps the ops.
Who cares?
Like who cares? I know. So stupid. So silly. So dumb.
Good for Shakur. Get some FaceTime. Good for you.
Yeah. And Ray Ford was there. Keyshawn Davis.
Great. Oh, Keyshawn's back in the mix. That's good to see. Yeah,
we need him back for next
year. Yeah, we do. For America.
All right.
For America.
All right, everybody. Enjoy the week. We'll be back later on with another episode of Protect Yourself at All Time. Keep your hands up at all times. Stay out of those DMs. Good night.